Welcome to the Jeff Knows Inc. Entrepreneurial Podcast with your host, Jeff Lopes. Jeff has over two decades experience as a serial entrepreneur, building brands like Kimuraware from his home basement to a multi-million dollar global brand that has sold over a quarter million pairs of boxing gloves. Jeff's here to educate, guide, and drive you on the process of bringing your ideas and dreams to reality with the inspiring stories from some of the top business minds.
Welcome to episode number 87 of the Jeff Knows Inc. podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Lopes. Super excited to have on today Mitch Matthews. Mitch is a former NFL athlete and the founder of Anthem Sales. Great conversation, great journey, great story. Sit back, everyone, and enjoy. We are live. We are live in the Jeff Knows Inc. podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Lopes. Super excited to have on Mitch Matthews from Portland, Oregon. Guys, got so much going on. Anthem Sales. I'm super stoked to have him on. What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm really excited to be on here. I'm thankful that you reached out, and I'm excited to spit. I'm excited to roll with you, man. So yeah, like you said, my name's Mitch, and from Portland, Oregon. So I grew up. I got a scholarship to play football at Brigham Young University. BYU seems to ring a bell more. So BYU is where I play football. Yeah. Had a great season this year. So they put BYU back on the map, which is great. That's where I played. Then I played a couple of years in the NFL afterwards as well. First with the Kansas City Chiefs, and then with the Browns, then with the Vikings and the Dolphins, and had an amazing time there. One thing I'm super grateful for, though, is so many people – actually, let me back up. National Football League is the reason why it's NFL, but that's a sham. That's not the reality. It stands for not for long. NFL does not National Football League. So I played for a couple of years, had some injuries, but I was very, very fortunate. And I tend to be an optimist, but I was very fortunate because so many players go from college football and have no idea what to do with their lives. Or they go to the NFL and then have no idea what to do with their lives afterwards because all they'd ever known was football. And that's all I knew as well. I can't hide behind that. But I had a huge and have a huge passion for entrepreneurship and for sales, communication, and especially leadership. And so when you add sales, communication, leadership, passion, energy, hard work together, typically that's the formula for an entrepreneur, at least to start off at.
100%.
So that's where my entrepreneur life was born. Actually, because NFL stands for not for long, not National Football League, when I got cut for the third time, we'll talk about all these things, by the Minnesota Vikings, I decided to start Anthem Sales, which it's a pest control company. So we do pest control in the Southeast. We have 18,000 active customers, all driven by door-to-door sales, which is it's super cool. We'll get into that too in a bit. But I started my first business that is still going today, 4 years past football and after football, while I was still playing football. Because it's a common expression in football that the ball stops rolling for everybody at some point. Even the greatest of all time, it'll stop rolling for Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, and it'll stop rolling for everybody.
Let me dive in there quickly. You understood that and you had the realization of that very early in your career. Do you find that a lot of pro athletes, when you talk about football, don't have that? They're living for the moment all the time?
Yeah. It's valid and it's true. And here's the reason why that's almost semi-okay, Jeff, is because you don't want to have a plan B. You don't want to say, well, if I drop a ball, it's okay, I'll get cut. No worries. Like, you don't want to have that mindset. It's do or die, and you want to have that for sure. The problem is it's okay, and the mindset is wrong that it's not okay, but it is okay to gain skills and to attend class in college and to – like for me, and I guess I can't even say I was the best at attending class in college, but what I was great at was networking. So BYU has a massive fan base, one of the biggest in the entire country. And there's some amazing entrepreneurs. They call Salt Lake City Silicon Slopes. There's so many tech companies, amazing companies. And a lot of their CEOs are huge BYU fans. And I can tell you 10 plus people that I had lunch with when I was in college as a starter, as a guy that was the featured player of the team. My class was having lunch with some big time CEOs, and the CEO of Traeger Grills, that grill company, who everyone knows.
Yeah.
He's like my mentor. And because I asked him to go out to lunch with me, he thought it was cool that he was going to go out to lunch with a BYU football player. So that was my class. That was my networking. So post-football, I had a network of people that I really admired and wanted to be like. And I feel like that was, to so many athletes, is not cool, is to think ahead. Trust me, I wanted football to work, and it did work out in a lot of ways. But so many people, once football's done, they've had no history of class, school, grades, or even just networking. So to answer, hopefully I answered your question, is that's what I did, knowing that football would eventually end one day.
There's so many topics I'm going to dive into. I'm going to swing back and talk to what you just actually talked about. One of them I'm going to talk right off the bat is networking. That's something I'm so passionate about, because it's like a spider web, and people don't understand the importance of networking. And one thing I try to do on a regular basis is every week I try to network with minimal 3 to 5 people. And I also try to do is network people. Like, as we're talking, I'm thinking of 2 or 3 people I can network you with. I always try to network people together as well. So I'll look at Mitch and I'll say, that's a perfect connection with Tom, and I'll network you guys. And why I find that so important is just as important, if not more, as me networking, is by me connecting you two. If you guys hit it off and build something together or build a strong relationship, who's your anchoring point? I'm the one you guys are always going to remember to anchor you guys together. So I think if any entrepreneurs are listening to this, the basic of having the ability to anchor and having the ability to network is so important for any young entrepreneur.
100%. Yeah. And so that's where I'll tell you this. My brother was way better at school than me. He just got his doctorate in anesthesiology. So he was a school freak, 4.0 student. I can't sit here and say I was always at every class. I actually wasn't. Yeah. But what I was dang good at was networking. And I still am. I just love people. I love meeting people and hearing people's stories. And just to dive into a quick story, that Jeremy Andrus, who's the CEO of Traeger, yeah, and he was the CEO of Skullcandy, which everyone knows about as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I was able to go spend 12 hours with Jeremy. I said, Jeremy, football's over for me. I'm an entrepreneur now, and I want to come shadow you for 12 hours. I look back to the 12 hours I spent with him to this day, because that was such an important 12 hours of my life. And if I wouldn't have asked him out to lunch and he wouldn't have accepted, then I wouldn't have been able to go up and hang out with him for a day. And he wouldn't pick up my phone call like he did last week. And so those connections really are everything, especially for an entrepreneur. Grades aren't anything, but connections are everything for an entrepreneur. And same with sales, same with, communication. It's just the value of connecting with people and making friends and genuine connections is so, so powerful, because people want to do business with friends.
Yeah,
if you can make a friend, they say, well, now that you're my friend, what business can we start? Because it'd be really fun to be glued to you for the next 10 years. So they don't care. They don't, when you go to meet someone, they don't ask what your GPA was. They ask, do I like this person? And then they make business from there.
Yeah, I love that part. Another thing you said too is I love the bare fact that you went and shadowed him for 12 hours. And 12 hours isn't saying a lot, but as an entrepreneur, you can pick up a lot of stuff if you're around the right individuals. I had a guest on the other day, Dr. Bill Dorfman. He's like extreme makeover doctor of the stars, dental doctor of the stars. And when he started off in Hollywood being a dentist, the first thing he did was, and he actually brought this on our topic, the first thing he did was find, before he opened his own practice, find the top 5 dentists in Hollywood. And he called each one and asked if he could actually shadow each one for 3 months. And when he was shadowed each one for 3 months, I think there's a great lesson here. He didn't shadow just the dentist. He shadowed the reception. He shadowed how they collected money, how they received money, how they booked appointments. So learning the business before he ventured onto his own aspect. So shadowing and learning from others, the mentoring aspect is a massive part of it. Have you had any other mentors in your life?
Tons, yeah. You know, my business partner now, he's the second biggest McDonald's franchisee west of the Mississippi. He's got 43 McDonald's. He's my business partner currently and our investor in Anthem. And he's done extremely, extremely well. So I've leaned on him for a long, long time, even before football. Luckily for me, though, like playing at BYU and playing in the NFL for multiple teams, I played with some Hall of Famers. I played with some Hall of Fame coaches and some great coaches. So you have these people that, even if they're mentors for 3 months, just the impact they had on you for those 3 months is good enough. Like that 12 hours, that's all I would have ever gotten from Jeremy. That would have been a huge value no matter what. Luckily, it's a connection that'll last a lifetime. But sometimes you get coaches that I've had for 3 months. That's all I had them as a coach for, but they made an impact forever. So I think finding those long-term mentors, as well as just those short-term coaches or those people that you meet for 5 minutes, glean something from them. And I think of books as mentors. Oh, I oddly think my favorite book is Shoe Dog by Phil Knight. I oddly think that Phil Knight's a mentor of mine in a weird way, you know, because I read that book. Obviously I'm very biased at Nike because that's where I grew up in Beaverton, Oregon.
Yeah.
But, his story and how he handled himself and carried himself throughout that book was that's enough for a mentor to me. Right. So in any way, you can always find these mentors.
Yeah. So with pest control, what decided you to get into pest control? Was that something in the family business? Like, what got you into that field?
No, not a family business. It was honestly just an invitation because I was so focused on football and so driven with football. But a couple of my good buddies knew my intentions in life, knew my skill set, and said, look, this business that we have or that we want to start with you, we think you could really excel in it. So let me give a quick background on it. So we do pest control. So really what it is, we do pest control people's homes, residential pest control. So bugs, like I'm the bug guy at heart, like down to the core, I'm the bug guy. That's really what it is. But my job at the business is to how we market it. So 100% of our sales and all of our customers have been found through direct to home. So we do door-to-door sales, in other words. So right now we have 130 sales reps currently at our company, about 40, you know, full-time technicians, employees, office staff, and three owners of the business. So we have probably a team of 160 people. We'll probably put on 20,000 new homes this year on top of the 18,000 that we already currently have as well. So super high goals, but if we had, you know, 35, 40,000 active homes down in the Southeast, Georgia, South Carolina, Texas, we'd be some happy people. So my job is 100% sales in the marketing of the business. My business partner does all of our operations.
So when you guys first started, I'm going to throw this at you too. Where'd you guys get the name from? I think it's such an important part.
Well, you know, what's funny is it doesn't really have like a super big rhyme or reason. My business partner lives in a neighborhood called Anthem. So Anthem has a good connotation to it, but he lives in a neighborhood called Anthem in Nevada. It's like a subdivision. So that's kind of where we got the name Anthem from.
Okay. When I first read Anthem's sales, the first assumption is a sales force or sales company. You wouldn't think of pest control. Right. Did you ever find that it was breaking that barrier when you're marketing or advertising with the name like that?
Good question. You know, we didn't want a name like Bug Zappers because you're not going to find high talent with the name Bug Zappers probably. So if you make it a name that's more... I can't even call it sexy because in no way pest control is sexy. But what we've transformed our business into is we're a sales force. We just happen to do pest control. Now, my business partner would say the contrary. He'd say, no, we're a pest control company. We just happen to do door-to-door sales. And that's where I think it's a good mix of, you know, it's a good combination with us too. I said, no, we're a sales company because I take pride in that piece of the business. And all of our sales guys, I hope they say the same thing. We're a sales company because I hope that I'm a good enough coach at sales that I could take them and we can go sell roofing. We could go sell clothes. We can go sell iPhones and it would be just as good as pest control because sales is universal. So that's my hope is that to turn these people into great salespeople.
So door to door, that is a lost art. And that's something, I mean, you go back to when I was a child, the whole door to door, selling vacuums, selling encyclopedias. I remember they come to our house when I was a kid. How is that still something that people are comfortable and how has COVID affected that door-to-door sales? Because I'm sure that's affected also your sales, no? When it comes to door-to-door?
That's a really good question. So we take strict regimen on making sure when we knock on someone's door that we're 10 feet back, we have masks ready, people don't come outside, we don't go inside their homes. So we can be 10 feet back and still make the sale. Where it has helped is everyone's home. So you knock on someone's door, they're probably going to answer the door. So that has actually helped a lot. So last year we did 12.5, almost 13,000 new homes last year. And people were home, willing to answer. And if you're home more, that means you're seeing more bugs inside your house, which you don't want. So you're more likely to say yes to the pest control guys. So yeah, that's our job is to teach people how to be great at sales. And what I love about direct-to-home sales or door-to-door sales is it is the truest, most pure form of sales. It's not behind the phone. I can't be wearing my underwear making a sale. Yeah. I can't be texting. I have to show up at their door, and they're not expecting the bug guy. They're not wake up in the morning saying a bug guy is going to knock on my door today. It's a completely cold sale. Who are you? What do you want? You know, they're kind of at you. And if it turned that person into a, not just a warm lead, but a sale, and you get their credit card information within the next 10 minutes. So to have that in your arsenal, to teach 18 to 30 year olds that skill is really, really fun and really rewarding.
So is your sales team employees? Are they consultants? Are they commission-based? Like, how do you bring them on, and how do you keep them on with your company? Because sales are something that has a high turnover rate, right? Any business.
Totally. Yeah. It's a certain brand of people for sure, but it's 100% commission based, but we also have no cap. So just to give a quick insight, you know, we are guys and girls that do this. We average, it's mainly a summer business. So it's about 4 months you do this. That's when the bugs are the worst. That's when people don't have school or class if they're in college. So it's mainly a 4 month thing. And for those 4 months, they go out door to door and they'll probably knock 11,000 doors over that time. And just to put it in perspective, we have people that have made $10,000 in 4 months. We had a guy last year make $250,000 in the span of 4 months by selling 1,000 people in the span of, I think his was about five and a half months. So you make great money. There's no cap. So you can do it. Sales is it's the highest paying job in the world because there's no cap on it. Right? So it's a beautiful thing.
I'm very passionate about sales. My first real company when I was 19 to 24 was a consulting fitness business. And I had a mentor, this guy, Steve, and it was insanely, his method of sales. Now, all these years later, I've been studying someone NLP, and I look back and I'm like, this guy was teaching NLP when I was 19 years old, like commonalities, building rapport, all that stuff really quickly. And I think sales are something that I talk about this all the time. It's something that should be mandatory right through high school. And it should be a mandatory right from grade 9 to grade 12, right in high school. If they're teaching sales, as we said before, your whole life you're trying to sell yourself, whether you're trying to sell yourself to your partner, or trying to sell yourself at a job interview, no matter what, you're constantly doing sales. And it's something that I think a lot of younger people are not taught. And then when you get into the real world, they're not prepared to be there. But if they were to have that sales background, they'd be able to conquer so much more, right?
100%. Yeah. There's so many things that we wish were mandatory in high school and in college that just aren't. But I'm so proud of the people that we have at our company because they're so bold. To be willing to get rejected all day long is a great skill to have.
100%.
Like the difference between a great salesperson and an average salesperson in our business is the great ones get denied 98% of the time. The average ones get denied 99% of the time. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's
a cool statistic to me. One of my favorite quotes ever is just get out there and get rejected. If you're willing to get rejected all day long, you're probably going to make the most money. If you're just the most willing. Burnout doesn't happen because they're walking around in Texas when it's hot. That's not where you get burnt out. It's not literal burning of the sun. That's not what burnout is. Burnout is getting tired of getting rejected. So if you don't have that, for me personally, I was lucky. I'm fortunate. There's some gene in me that says, I don't care when I get told no, it doesn't bother me. Yeah. So I've been denied and cut and doubted my whole life. So for me, it doesn't bother me, but it does bother some. And so we coach that heavy that getting denied doesn't even matter. It just means you're getting, the faster you get told no is the faster you find the yes. So that's really what sales is. First and foremost is, you can't care if someone tells you no. And that's a beautiful skill to have because I think the biggest pandemic in the world right now, Jeff, I can honestly say this, the biggest pandemic in the world right now is lack of self-belief. Not to diminish what the world is going through right now, obviously, but metaphorically speaking, that is seriously what people suffer from more than anything is lack of self-belief. I really believe that.
I love that. I have actually, we talked before we went on air, one of my passions is obviously fatherhood and entrepreneurs. And something I did years ago, I got these signs made for both my kids. And I told you my story with my son. I get signs for both my kids and it says, believe in yourself. And I put them outside their bedroom door, right outside. And before they go to bed, I would make them read it. And I've been doing that and it's like instilled in their head now. It's believe in yourself, believe in yourself, believe in yourself, believe in yourself. So it's something that I think a lot of parents have to start from a young age, pushing and instilling their kids' minds and building that confidence from a young kid. So when they get into the real world, they have that confidence. They have that belief that, like you said, rejection means nothing because they have the belief in themselves, right?
100%. Yeah. you know, I don't even know where it comes from. I always sort of think back, like, where did my self-belief come from? And it honestly comes from overcoming pain and overcoming struggle. Like, just thinking about your son, like, he's had more pain than I've had, more pain than you've had. I mean, you went through it with him, but he's had some serious, serious pain. I feel like I've had some serious, serious pain from, you know, losing my mom. Like, I found out she had terminal cancer 3 days after I got my first NFL contract. She ended up passing away about 10 months later. Within the same month of time, I got married, my mom passed away, got cut from my third NFL team, and I also started this business that I own now, Anthem Pest Control. And so it was a tough month. And so I come from a place of pain. And I think where I've gained leaps and bounds in my confidence has been through going through pain and then overcoming pain. Because the next, for example, like when I go on sell with our sales reps to this day, I like to get my hands dirty and not be above like the grind. One of the things that I've realized is the pain of getting told no, like someone not wanting my pest control service, is a lot less harsh than other things that I've gone through, like a parent passing away or being cut from a dream job multiple times or getting injured in the middle of the season. Yeah. That pain doesn't even come close. So I don't really feel pain when people tell me no at all, because I've experienced real pain. I have confidence throughout my day that nothing's going to really bother me or bring me down. I'm sure it's the same with your son. Like, what could bother him? What could get in his way? Like, honestly, nothing. Because he's.
I could honestly tell you, Mitch, I'm going to send you some videos when we're done this podcast. This kid is the happiest, most loving. Like, he will wake up, and I pray that your daughter will be the same thing too with you guys one day. He wakes up and the first thing he's got to do is come and give my wife and myself a hug and a kiss. Before he goes to bed, he will not go to bed without giving us a hug and a kiss. He's just a sweet soul. How old were you when you lost your mom?
25. My birthday to turn 26 was the next week. No, 2 days later, actually.
Yeah.
25, almost 26.
My condolences. And 10 months is a very short period. When you started, Let's go back to Mitch as a kid. When did the whole football start with you, and when did you find passion for football? How old were you when you started playing?
My dad was my brother's coach. We both started at the same time because my brother could never start something before me. We had to get our cell phone at the same time, show all the sports at the same time. Like, that's actually a lot.
What's the age gap between you two?
2 years.
Okay.
So he was fourth grade. I was second grade when I started playing football. Tackle football, second grade, no fear. I was probably the best ever that I've ever been in second grade. Because you have no fear of the repercussions of what football can bring sometimes. So I was just a hammerhead. I was a missile in there. But I started playing football in second grade. I was far better at baseball than I was at football, even probably to this day. Baseball was my most natural talent. I was a left-handed pitcher. Could have gone after and played after high school, but I didn't love baseball. I loved football. And I loved it because my brother loved it. And he was always better than me because he was always older than me. And he was All-State, Mr. Football, Mr. Athlete. So I just followed in his footsteps. And he got a lot more scholarship offers and looks than I did. And so luckily I had the same last name that he did on the back of my jersey. He was more of an early bloomer. That was more of a late bloomer. And so I got a scholarship to BYU a couple of years after he did. We played together at BYU for a couple of years. So I've always been in love. Oh, it was awesome. Not many people can say that. It was really, really cool. So we've always loved football, and that's just our passion. So I knew I would go far in football, even though I was better at baseball, because I loved football, and I knew that passion was going to be a driving force for this. So I've been in love with football my whole life, but probably had other talents elsewhere as well, but it was just the love that kept me going.
Listen, I'm going to dive into that. These baseball, I'll tell you in just a sec why it's important to us, but left-handed pitcher, if you put the same love and effort into it, do you think you would have made the majors?
I'd like to say so. I would like to just say so. Yeah, I can't sit here and say yes for sure, because you never know. But I was going to play baseball a couple of years at BYU as well, but I broke my collarbone a couple of times, and my head football coach didn't like two sport athletes for some reason. So looking back, I wish I would have pursued that more. But 6'6", that's a tall end, 220 pounds, left-handed. Like, typically that's a baseball.
That's major league baseball. Teams would be drooling over that size.
Yeah, if I would have probably kept going, yeah. But that's the thing, is I don't want to be a once a week pitcher. I wanted to play every. I wanted to like you know, sprint and run and dive for a ball. I for some reason, just it didn't get me out of bed to play baseball. So I love football, and I'm happy I chose that route.
I love that. Getting to college, did you get drafted? Did you sign on as a free agent? Like, when did you get to the NFL? Free agent.
Yeah.
So you just went for your tryouts? Did you have an agent and all that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you have an agent. Yeah. During the draft, got called, you know, by multiple head coaches. Hey, if we don't draft right now in the, you know, fourth to sixth round, then we want you to sign on afterwards. And so I thought I was going to draft it, didn't, and then went to sign a free agent contract with the Chiefs. And looking back, what's so funny about this is looking back, it was a huge mistake to sign with them because look how good they are now. And the receivers that I came in with in 2015 are still there to this day. One of them being Tyreek Hill, who's probably arguably one of the best receivers in the NFL. So it was hindsight 2020. I should have went and played in Green Bay and got a different route, but you just never know. You just never know. And that's, you know, I was one of the highest paid undrafted guys that year. And it was because the Chiefs wanted me that badly. So I was like, well, if they want me that badly, I better go there. But hindsight 2020, I should have gone somewhere else. But like I said, you just never know. And you just move forward and learn.
So where did this is off topic too with your brother, but did your brother end up trying to make the NFL? Did he ever go that route or no?
No, he just played 4 years of college and then went the doctor route. He just became a doctor actually like 5 days ago, 10 years extra of college. And he got his doctorate in anesthesiology.
I saw your post the other day. I put up a comment on that. That was pretty, 10 years is a lot of dedication, man. That's
a beast. That's a beast. Yeah.
Pretty amazing. And obviously you guys are very close.
Right. Yeah. Super close.
Yeah, very, very cool. So you're a new dad now. Let's talk about that. How's that been the first month?
Well, I got a rock star wife. So that's all I can say. So I'm training for an Ironman right now.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that too.
I want to do something even harder next year, which I'll reveal at a different time. But doing an Ironman in April of 2021. My coach is James Lawrence, the Iron Cowboy, I met him on a Zoom call with my company last night. He did the 50 Ironmans. 50 days, that guy. Yeah. He's my coach for it. So doing that while raising a newborn baby, all that comes down to me is that I have a rock star wife that does a great job and is, you know, rock solid and does.
How long have you guys been married for now?
Almost 4 years. Almost for been together about almost 5.5, and then been together or married for 4.
Yeah. So you got married at, you got married pretty young, 26,
25. Yeah, I just turned 26. Yeah. Yep.
So with your company, where do you guys see it going over the next, how many states are you guys in right now?
We are 2 states but 4 cities.
Okay.
So
you guys have sales offices in each city, or everything's run out of one central place? You do.
No, yeah, so we do. So we have our sales guys are decentralized. They're a lot in Utah, Idaho, East Coast, Tennessee, Washington, wherever. It's all over the place, Montana. But they go for those 4 months. They fly in, and we house them for 4 months, and they sell. So we're in Columbus, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, Dallas, Texas, and Houston, Texas.
Is there anywhere else you want to move next for your next office? Are you guys looking?
Somewhere in South Carolina is where we're looking at next. And honestly, to answer your question, the hopes of the business is just to keep going. We have a big, hairy, audacious goal, our BHAG, to be in all 50 states one day. So maybe shy of Alaska. I don't know how many bugs there are there. Maybe mosquito issues or something. But we have a desire to be very big, because I'm passionate about leadership. And what's so cool about this industry is you can lead a lot of people very quickly. We've gone in 3 years and 9 months exactly, almost to the day. 3 years and 9 months, we've gone from me and my 2 business partners to 160 people that wear the Anthem brand. So it's scaled really, really quickly.
Very quickly.
And so your leadership has to match the number of people you have.
Yeah.
Your systems and processes have to match that. So it stretches me constantly. So I fall in love with this business and I don't want it to stop. I want to be twice as big and teach more and more people sales skills. And we're hiring to this day. If people need a sales job, tell them to just reach out to me in my DMs and I'll interview them and see if they're a good fit for this job. And so, you know, that's our hope, is to grow this business and keep doing what we're passionate about.
Where did you meet your partners originally? They were all through high school, right through college, you said?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of BYU players go on church missions for 2 years and take the hiatus for 2 years. I did that in Florida for 2 years. other guys go all across the country, but I did in Florida for 2 years, and that's where I met my business partner who owned the McDonald's out there. He's yeah. sold those and owns the ones in Vegas, a lot of them in Vegas now, 43 of them. So that's how I met him originally. And then the other one was through a friend of a family friend type of connection. And yeah. so it's 3 own the business now together.
Yeah. So he's obviously very, so obviously the gentleman owns McDonald's, very successful entrepreneur. Was the other gentleman an entrepreneur when you guys met as well? Or
he was our staple that had been in pest control for 15 years.
He understood the industry.
He knew the industry very, very well. So the pieces was that we needed a financial piece, which was yeah. our investor and our business yeah. partner, Brent, who owns McDonald's. That was the financial piece. The operations, we'll call it bug pest control piece, was yeah. my business partner, Ben. And then my job was to the marketing and the sales.
So let's dive into triathlete. When did that cross your mind? When did you start focusing on that? Why did you get that into your mindset? It was just to, is your competitive edge as an athlete? You have to do something?
Yeah. I was asked that the other day and I was like, why did I sign up for an Ironman? Because this training sucks.
It's crazy. I don't think people, unless you've done it or know somebody that's done it, it's insane training. Insane.
But it doesn't stop. Like this morning, I had to get up 6:30 and an hour long swim. And I have a long run tonight. Every day is a two-a-day. Every single day is a two-a-day. And it's just, you can't miss a day because you get behind. And it's, you go from an hour and a half bike ride to an hour long run right after. So it's a 2.5 hour workout and all this different gear. And you have your bike. And I've spent like probably $10,000 just getting the equipment to do the Ironman. And that was
painful. How expensive was your bike? Do you mind me asking?
Just under $6,000.
So that's not too bad. They go, some of these go up pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, I thought six was pretty bad, but it was worth it. It was a really good bike. And so, but you get the bike, but it doesn't stop there. You have to get the shoes, the gear, all the stuff on, all the bells and whistles on the bike. So it was probably $5,000 bike, almost maybe $5,500, then another $1,000 on top of that for all the gear and equipment. Then you're swimming stuff. Then you're running stuff and things wear out and then they break and all the nutrition is a beast too. Like yes. I've eaten the same foods for the last 6 weeks. Like I wake up, have the same oatmeal, protein shake, fruit. Then I have my 20 wheat thins and my apple and my string cheese. And then I have my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then I have my ham and cheese in sandwich. Then I have another PB&J. And then I know it because it's the same thing every single day for 6 weeks. And then on top of the training. So it's a beast. And luckily, I have a great coach who's one of the fittest, top 50 fittest freaks in the world.
Yeah, the guy's yeah.
And so, but it's just a beast. And so to me, I'm not an endurance athlete. I'm a sprint athlete, you know, with football. And so I'll probably do this one time and be like, okay.
What are you weighing right now?
I played football at 220-ish. Right now, I'm probably 210.
That's still a lot of weight to push around for an endurance athlete. I mean, most endurance athletes, you're thinking 6'1", 6'2", 180, 175, like lean.
Yeah.
So with football, let's go back to football. Injury-wise, did you have massive injuries when you played football? Any massive injuries?
Luckily, I didn't have any injuries below the waist, which is a big deal. Like no ACL. Okay. I mean, I had like, you know, you tweak a hamstring, pull a hamstring, okay. but no like ACL, no blown out ankle, no foot injuries. I had multiple collarbone breaks. So I had 3. I had a labrum tear, I had a concussion, but nothing terrible. I would say my injuries were always.
That's quite a bit there.
Yeah. And I broken finger. I mean, yeah, you have all these little ones, but.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The timeliness was tough. I pulled my hamstring when I was in the Browns and got cut, which was tough. And then I blew up my ankle when I was in the Dolphins and I got released as well. So there was just, it was on time. Well, not blew up my ankle in terms of like surgery. It was just a really bad tear. And I was out for a while, and that's what really ended my career. So I say no lower body injuries until the last one, I guess, the ultimate one. But my whole life, I was pretty good until like my final injury, and then that was really it.
So from the day you stepped on the field in the NFL, it was 4 years of playing, give or take? I got that right?
4 years of college, 2 years in the NFL.
Oh, 2 years in the NFL. With your relationships you built, you still have strong relations, like you said, with ex-players or any players that are still in there. You still keep a good contact with them, or you kind of push away that side? You do see the contact?
Oh, for sure, yeah. For sure. Obviously, it's a busy time for those guys now, but I actually went to the Super Bowl with the Chiefs this last year. Me and my business partners did, because obviously I played for the Chiefs. I knew those guys. Their strength coach had given us tickets. He was a buddy of mine while I was – we got kind of close when I was there. So he gave us tickets to the Chiefs game in the Super Bowl, which is really fun. So my business partner and I were able to go see that. We went to the hotel before the game and saw a bunch of my old teammates, and and we're able to connect there. That was really, really fun. And obviously I had teammates that I played with in college that are still playing in the NFL. So my connection is very, very strong still.
Do you still miss it?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I'll miss it my whole life just because that's all I had ever done.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. It's so much fun. The stresses were tough. Injuries were tough. But at the end of the day, it's just fun. It's a game. You get to wake up and play a game for a living and get paid to do it. It's really fun.
I love that. Coaching-wise, would you ever get into coaching?
I'm actually, you know, working on a project now to start doing mass coaching, but for sales and entrepreneurship. But coaching football, no. There's just too much. It's too much wear and tear on the family unit.
Yeah,
that's not what I'm here for. Is that I want a great family. I want to create a great blueprint for my life. A lot of coaches hate their lifestyle. Coaching is incredibly fun. I love coaching. I have a passion for coaching. I'm good at coaching, but I can do that in entrepreneurship and sales, and not have to be on 15 different teams or coach 10 different teams in 10 years and be all around the country and have my kids have, you know, no high school or no childhood memories in the same place because they moved around so much. So I didn't want to sign up for that because of those reasons.
Yeah. So let's dive into that a bit if you could. You're trying to set up a coaching platform for sales, you said?
Yeah, sales entrepreneurship. It's kind of an ongoing process now, like a monthly subscription coaching now via Zoom.
So you officially are doing this right now?
It's in the project phase currently. Okay. It's not like a released it or anything like that, but it's in the project phase just because you're right. I do have a passion for coaching. And so I have thought about getting into it, but what way can I still run my business efficiently and not take away from that?
Yeah, and be still, a membership base.
Yeah. And still move forward and still coach people.
Yeah. With the ultra marathons, you said, I mean, this is not the ultra marathons, the triathlete. You said this is something you're going to do. You're looking at probably just one time for now.
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. Like I think of doing it again and I'm only a month and a half into my training and I have 3 months left.
So, that's all I understand is you're on a strict diet already that early, and it's like you're still how many months away? So they're really like toning in tightly, huh?
Yeah, I'm actually 4 months out from the time I do it, so I have 4 months left of training. But dieting, my mom was a nutritionist; she was a personal trainer, marathoner, so she's always been a freak that way. So I've always been a freak with my diet as well. I mean, trust me, I love a good cheat meal. Yeah. I have one once a week.
Yeah, I see your posts.
Yeah, I have one big cheat meal once a week. Trust me, I enjoy it thoroughly. But the other, you know, 30 meals a week, I'm very strict on what I put my body in. It's not necessarily what's clean versus what's not clean. Like I'm having like 3 peanut butter and jellies a day.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say that.
It's calories, it's intake. Like,
yeah. You have to balance it out because you're burning so many calories. You have to balance it out, it out properly. Yeah. Yeah. It's such a science behind it, right?
Yeah, it's just calories in and calories being burned. So
that's all it is.
I don't care what's going into my body as long as I know down to the calorie what's going in and how much I'm burning. Yeah. I'm good with this. I can't lose weight.
That's the simplest way. Like my background's fitness, right? So that's the simplest way you can look at anything. I always tell people is look at it as a house, front door, back door. Same amount of calories coming in, same calories coming out. You're maintaining your weight. Just looking calories intake and outtake, right?
Sure.
With 100%. I threw something in there. Ultra marathon. Would that be something you'd ever attempt?
Yeah. I hate when people try to test me or challenge me because I typically sign up for it and I regret it after I sign up for it. So, you know, a good buddy of mine, I'm sure you know who Jesse Itzler is.
Yeah.
He's a guy that's always pushing his limits, and him and I have pushed our limits together. We went to Poland together and froze our butts off. And I, you know, seeing him as, you know, young 50s doing an ultra, he's doing an ultra triathlon or ultra Ironman, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta be kidding me. So now the fact that he's doing it, I'm like, well, shoot, maybe I should do it. But I'm in the middle of this training right now. I'm like, let me just complete one of these first. But, you know, I have it on my agenda within the next couple of years to break a world record somehow. So I got to get creative there. I don't want to do that. But always, first and foremost, is family and my businesses. You know, I want to do those things and do really well with them. So I don't want to get too diluted in other things that I'm attempting and doing. But there's a time and a place for all that. But Ironman, once I complete it in my 20s, that was my goal. To do an Ironman in my 20s, I'm cutting it close. I'm doing it, I think, a couple of days before I turn 30. So about 4 months away.
You're still on track. That's good, though.
Exactly. I'm on track. So I got to get it done. And so that'll be a good checklist item for me. And I have that on my list of goals. So it's on the horizon. But you know what? Possibly an ultra double Ironman or something. Possibly, I don't know.
That's crazy. When did you meet Jesse? Because he's an interesting character.
Yeah, great guy. I met him in Poland actually. I think I met him at a couple things before we met on social media, but Lewis Howes, another buddy of mine, he organized a group to go out to Poland to spend a week with Wim Hof. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. So you're part of that. That's pretty cool. Yeah,
that was 11. I can't believe that was 11 months ago. We were planning on doing something again this January with someone else, but with COVID and everything, it got put to a halt. But went to Poland with those guys, made some great friendships. And so, you know, they've really opened my eyes to testing your limits and being great at, you know, whatever you choose. So, yeah, we went to Poland and froze our butts off and changed our lives. It was really cool.
Yeah, I saw some of those. I wasn't aware that you were a part of it, but I saw some of the posts from Jesse. So with all the ice dives and all that stuff with Lewis Howes, did you meet him through football or is it something you guys met after?
We actually met on social media, and how Lewis and I met was because him and I have a very crazy similar story from, you know, college to NFL sports and pro football to injury to entrepreneurship to wanting to inspire millions of people to losing a family member, losing a parent. Him and I had a crazy similar story, like very parallel in our lives. And so, you know, we thought it'd be interesting to meet in person. So we went up and met in California when I was down there and had lunch and, you know, hit it off really well and ended up being buddies and invited me down to, or up to Poland, up to the mountains.
For a young gentleman, he's done extremely well for himself. He's built a very strong brand.
Absolutely. It's great.
Really amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
And I see that with your social media. So are you really focused on building your brand right now?
Good question. Yeah. I had this thought this morning, actually, as I was driving to come back for this podcast. Like, my social media is really to inspire people and to attract people to what really is important into my life. Yeah. Like, it doesn't really get me off that, like, people think that I do cool things. Like, I want to actually complete cool things and have people see and inspire people to do them themselves. So luckily for me, naturally, I had a brand from coming from football, but I had to totally recreate that in entrepreneurship because my follower count went way, 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 way down because everyone's like, wait, he doesn't play football anymore. Who the heck is this guy? Who cares? And I'd like reverse and build that back up with some of the cool things that I'm doing, but I don't live my life to gain followers in any way. But if I can live my life in a certain way that everyone can learn something from.
Yeah. Do you all your own posts still, or do you have somebody doing your posts?
I do all my own posts. Yeah. I have some help edit.
I appreciate that.
I have a manager that does a great job with helping me, but I do all my own, you know, content and the wording.
Yeah. I love that. With yourself, you have the ultra marathon, you have a lot of stuff going on. I always ask this question, and there's two questions I always ask near the end here. If something were to happen to you today, from your closest friends to your relatives, in a few words, how would you want to be remembered?
It's a great question. I would want to be remembered as someone who left the perfect blueprint to live a great life. So I have a lot of whys. I think whys are mainly personal. Like, I have a personal just why to be successful and see out my potential. But my mom and my wife and my baby and my friends, I want to inspire them too, to help them as well, and to be in a position financially and emotionally and mentally to help tons and tons of people and millions of people. And I will do that. But at the end of the day, if I can leave a blueprint to say, if I can just live like Mitch, I'll be financially free. I'll be mentally very wealthy. I'll be emotionally and spiritually very wealthy. And I'll live a damn good life. If I could have people remember me as someone who gave the world an amazing blueprint on how to live, then I did my job.
Next, like I said, I don't preset questions. These are two questions I always ask. If you had a superpower, what would it be? Making you think here today, Mitch.
I know, man. That's why I asked you before. I was like, give me the hard question so I don't sound like a goof.
No, it's nothing to be a goof. Just two questions at the end.
I'm just kidding. I like the on-the-spot stuff. I need creative here. If I had a superpower, I don't want to give you some dorky answer because I don't watch like superhero movies. I don't want to say like flight or something. If I had a superpower, it would probably be speed reading. Maybe that's already a superpower that you can obtain. But I'm talking like lay a book on your head and absorb all the information type reading. Because then you'd have every person in the world as your mentor. You have all the information, all the best information from the best, smartest, most powerful, the most successful people on earth in your brain, all their best information. So I would say.
So continuously learning is a big part of who you are, right?
100%.
I love that because it's a big part of who I am as well. I'm constantly trying to, I always say this, the day you die is the day you stop learning. You're constantly trying to learn something every day, whether you're having a conversation like we're having today, you always try to gas something out of it and try to hold it in because you're constantly growing and learning that way, right? So I love that part of it, right?
Yeah. So the superpower name, I guess, would be Book Osmosis. We'll call that all Book Osmosis. We'll call it that. It's my superpower.
I love it. I love it. This has been an absolute pleasure. Is there anything else you want to finalize and tell our audience before we get going today?
No, that was it. That was it. Be great. Be amazing. You have people to inspire. I know we're going to talk more, but the biggest pandemic in the world, or I'll say the second biggest pandemic in the world, is lack of self-belief.
Yeah.
You got to believe it, but the method to becoming great is all wrong. Whoever wrote the original method to become great was probably wrong because people think you have to do great things before you believe that you're great. It's in reverse order. You already accomplished greatness in your mind. You already accomplished greatness in your mind before it actually even happens. You just get to watch. You get to sit back and watch it happen. So you accomplish in your mind, you do the work, and then game day is easy.
I love how you threw in game day. I love that.
Yeah.
On all our show notes, I'm going to get put all the links how to get a hold of Mitch. If you're in his areas, hopefully one of these days, if you haven't already, get a knock on your door with one of his Anthem sales teams. I'm going to put all the social media links. I guess eventually, hopefully you'll have your coaching platform out soon. So we'll get that up there too once that's out. And I appreciate your time. Good luck on your ultra marathon. Good luck on fatherhood. If you have any questions, I have a little experience with that. So throw them out at me anytime you need. And I really appreciate this, brother. Thank you so much.
Jeff, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's a wrap for today. I want to thank our guest, Mitch Matthews, for taking the time out of his busy schedule to be a guest on the Jeff Nozine podcast. Great conversation. If you guys enjoyed this as much as I did, please spread the word. Tell your family, tell your friends. We're trying to build something special here. If you can, leave a review. 5 stars would be absolutely amazing. We love reading the reviews. Until next week, guys, keep moving forward.